You know, God is so good and God is so faithful, and I am super pumped to see what happens. We're going to spend a bit of time in worship at the end because I feel like it's a challenging message, but if you catch it, I believe that transformation will start to take place in your life. You know, I have been on the journey where I've loved where I've come from, but I'm not quite where I want to be. So it's the transition, it's the in-between. And that's what I feel like this message propels us into where we want to move forward to. Are you excited? Awesome. So the title of my message, for those that know me well, know that I love a challenging word. The title of the message is Overcoming Comfort Zones So You Can Become Unstoppable. Overcoming comfort zones so you can become unstoppable. Those that were in mine and Angie's Connect group last year know all about comfort zones and how we like to challenge that and encourage you to step out of it. So for those guys, they're like, yeah, Nat's on it. You know, I pray that you are blessed outside of your comfort zone, because if comfort is more important to you than your blessing, then you will never receive your blessing, because it doesn't exist within the parameters of comfort zone. Are you ready? Have you got your notes? Take notes. Take notes, because this has been the last 6 months of my life. So I encourage you, take notes. So, how many of you have loved the last 2 weeks? Ange touched on grow. What did she talk about? Grace? Hormones. Grace? Repentance? Obedience? Wisdom? Grow. She messaged me after the sermon and she was like, I forgot to say that they all spell out grow. I said, don't worry, I'll say it for you. So I did. Last week we had Danielle who spoke on faith. You know, I pray faith rises this morning, and I pray that you are challenged and that you are propelled out of comfort zone this morning. I pray Jesus does something in your life this morning, in your heart. So we're going to read from Mark. Are we ready up the back? Mark 1, 16 to 20. Are we good? I got my renter crowd. My cousin's here, Robert. He keeps waving at me. So everyone, after the service, go and say hi to him for me. So Mark 1, 16 to 20. Have we got it yet? If you got it, say got it. If you're still looking for it, say wait. Oh, we're good. All right. Thanks, Quinton. We're good. So it's Jesus, it's titled Jesus Calls His First Disciples. All right, so I'm going to read it up here. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to share this word. I promise I won't take long. Verse 20 says, without delay, immediately, there was an urgency. Jesus called Simon and Andrew, James and John. He called them. They followed. They didn't ask 100 questions. They didn't doubt it. Jesus said, come follow me. And they went. Looks like faith to me. Jesus will give us commands that will change our life, but it's up to us to choose to follow. So in both cases, you've got Simon and Andrew and you've got James and John. And watch what they had to do to come into their calling. So verse 18 says, at once they left their nets and followed him, Simon and Andrew. Verse 20, without delay, James and John also left. So the first pattern that I saw emerging from this is that to follow Christ, to really follow Christ, you need to physically get up and come out of your comfort. They had to leave their comfort. They had to leave their familiar into the unknown. Jesus gave a command that would change their life and they grabbed it. They took it. They had to walk away from comfort zone into calling as disciples of Jesus Christ. Without delay, They didn't wait. You know, sometimes we like to complicate things. We like to hang on, Jesus, just wait. Let me work this out first and then I'll go. Has anyone ever said that? Okay, thank you. I'm not alone here. You know, they didn't wait for 100 confirmations. Jesus spoke, he issued a command, and they followed. We like to complicate it. You know, reading stories in the Bible and, you know, like I said, last 6-7 months, this has been my life, learning more about Jesus. And, you know, Jesus was radical. I was talking to Ange last night. Jesus was radical. He stepped on some toes, man. If you read some stories in a positive way, he challenged things. He challenged mindsets. He confronted things, always with love. He did not back down from a confrontation if it was worth having for the right reasons. It didn't matter who they were. If it erred from the original intent of God's word, character, or plan, he was sure to confront it. Jesus was intolerant at times, and it was always the case when it distorted God's truth, and he didn't shy away from calling people out that needed to be corrected in their perspective or behavior. Didn't matter who it was. If there was something not aligning to God's word or purpose, Jesus, when he walked the earth, was sure to confront it. And I think sometimes we can primarily associate Jesus just with comfort. But Jesus says, I will bring you a comforter in John 16. So the Holy Spirit came to not only convict, but to comfort. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to comfort. The role of Jesus when he was here on earth was to confront. Confront systems that would keep people in bondage. He came to call it out. If we begin to associate the presence of God in our lives primarily with comfort, and we may then begin to associate the enemy with confrontation and conflict, but sometimes it is the enemy who is giving us comfort, and it is God who is putting us in conflict to get to your calling, and we may be blaming the enemy for God's handiwork. So if you want to come into your calling, it means that you have to come out of your comfort zone. Peter had to leave his nets. James and John had to leave poor Zebedee in the boat. Ciao. I got to go. I got to follow this guy. He's issued me a command. Jesus issued a command and they followed. I'm going to be doing the same thing fishing, but for a different purpose. Not for profit, but for people. Calling is about vision. Calling is about the level at which you see the gift that God has placed on your life. So Jesus said, I see a gift in you. You have tenacity. You have a certain set of skills, but I'm going to apply your aptitude to a higher avocation. In other words, come follow me and I'm going to enlarge your capacity. I'm going to bring you into calling, but in order to find your calling, you have to forsake your comfort. 6 months of this going around in my head. It's fine. It's been fun. Will you go? Will you follow me? You know, we can be stubborn, and I am of European background, so I think I got an extra dose of that. And sometimes we can want both simultaneously. I work in a gym. People want abs, but they don't want to do planks. They want big muscles, but they don't want to lift heavy weights. My sister is a prime example. She'll do 3 bicep curls, and she'll be like, can you see my biceps? Like, it takes a little bit longer than that. Just a little bit more. You know, I've had these people that I've trained, and I've had this conversation with them, and one of them is a male, and he's like, every time I go in, he's in my 5:15 class, a.m. Yeah, I'm up at 4, praise Jesus. And he's like, Nat, I'm not seeing results. And he was getting frustrated. And he was complaining and he was whinging. We don't do that ever, do we? No. And I said to him, can I be honest? Now, for those that know me, if I ask you, can I be honest? you better be prepared to hear the response. Those that know me are like, yeah, yeah. And I said to him, when you come here, you change all the exercises to suit what's comfortable for you. So therefore, you're not seeing growth. You like working upper body, so you have a natural tendency to go towards what's familiar. I said, jump on the track and go push some sleds. And he just looked at me. He was completely gassed by the end of the session. And I was like, growth comes when you step out of the familiar. We want a divine calling with no discomfort. But coming into calling means coming out of comfort zone. You know, I absolutely love the youth takeover services. I sit over there and I am so emotional because all I'm seeing is a bunch of young people stepping out of comfort zone into their calling. Are they doing it? Yes. Are they doing it afraid? Probably. But are they doing it knowing that God is in full control? Absolutely. They're doing it afraid, but they're doing it knowing that God's got it. When I see Jordan up here leading worship and ushering in the presence of God, I'm like, he's stepping out of his comfort zone into his calling. It's amazing. You know, there's so many stories in the Bible that God calls ordinary people to do big things out of comfort zone. Moses, Nehemiah, Gideon, Mary, Jesus, he was called to die an excruciating death so that we could be saved. The uneducated disciples were called to go out into the world and make disciples of all the nations. Come follow me, Jesus said. No certainty, no contract. Follow me and I'll show you as you go. That sounds like Abraham. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go into the land that I will show you. That's an uncomfortable proposition. But if I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing, you're going to learn how to be uncomfortable. Jesus won't call you to do something that is outside of your competency. He will use what you're good at. He will use your gifting. It won't go beyond your competency, but it will go beyond your comfort. You will feel stretched by this. You will grow. 2020 vision, grow. So follow me, forsake the familiar, and walk in faith. You know, the greatest enemy of faith is not fear. It's familiarity. Fear is an ally of faith. Fear puts you in a place where you know you need something greater than yourself, which makes connection with God possible. Fear can lead to faith, but familiarity can keep you stuck in predictable cycles that are pitiful, but because they are predictable, you will stay in them unless something calls you out. Jesus will call you out. So will you go? This message today needs an active response, I believe. If you really want God to do something in your life and something in your heart, it needs your response. Will you allow God to stretch you so you can grow in God and ultimately in your calling for what He has for your life? I mean, you want to talk about comfort zones? Look what Jesus did. He stepped out of heaven to save you and me. So to fulfill his calling as the lamb slain, he had to lay down the riches and glory of heaven. And sometimes we sit in our heated seats and broken beliefs and luxury lives, and we don't want to move out of comfort. But if you are taking the example of Jesus, that's what he did. I pray this message is stirring something up in your heart. You know what I love? I'm sure Josh has probably heard it too. Working in the field that we work in the fitness industry, I'll start tomorrow. I get it all the time. If there's one of my pet hates, Nat, I'll start my diet Monday. Why? What's wrong with right now? Why are you putting off something until tomorrow that you can start today? God, I'll read my Bible every morning starting Monday. Okay, moving on. next few verses. So Mark 1, 21 to 23. Are we good? It's Jesus drives out an impure spirit. So Jesus with his disciples, they went to a place called Capernaum. So Jesus got his circle right. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. He was a guest speaker, so it was customary. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. You know, the greatest declaration of the gospel sometimes is not explanation, it's demonstration. So how you respond to work situations or your family or your friends might actually speak louder than your words. Let's keep going. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So Jesus is in Capernaum, right? He's got his circle right. He came to confront not the people, but the systems that had imprisoned the people. Because if you read on, Capernaum was a place that saw a lot of the miracles, but it was also one of the cities that got denounced because they saw it, but their hearts didn't change. So, verse 23 says, "Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit, an impure spirit, cried out." Now, all it says is that he was a part of their synagogue. He could have been there 2 weeks, 5 days, 6 months, I'm not sure. But it stands to reason that he'd been there a while because it said he was a part of it, right? The evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Something dysfunctional, so not operating properly, in this man, and when you're possessed by an evil spirit, I'd say it's pretty dysfunctional, right? Something dysfunctional in this man stood up and cried out when Jesus spoke. Be quiet. Jesus first silenced it, because only Jesus can silence demons, right? Come out of him. He didn't need like 7 steps. He just needed the power and authority of Jesus and the voice of God, and it came out. Come out of him, you unclean spirit. I don't think Jesus screamed it or shouted it. It said he said it sternly, but I don't think he had to, because real power can whisper and get its point across. Even though the demon put up a fight, it still had to come out. Even though the dysfunction put up a fight, it still had to come out when Jesus spoke. So in order to follow Jesus, step out of comfort. Sometimes we can say stuck. You know, and I think that we need to speak to some dysfunctions that have taken up residency in our lives, in our hearts, in our mindsets, and in our generational bloodline this morning. And we need to, with the power of God, call it out. Some stuff that's taken up residency in your life will not come out unless it is confronted. And Jesus will help us do that. If we want to grow in God, we've got to confront it. And, you know, if I'm being honest, when I was reading this story, I got stuck here for a while because, like I said, I'm of European descent and it's always a little bit hard-headed. But what got me a little bit was how this man was able to sit in church, and the evil spirit was comfortable in church. The dysfunction was comfortable in church. But when Jesus showed up, when the Son of God showed up, power showed up, demons tremble, The dysfunction had no place to hide and it had nowhere to run. How many times had this man been to church, possessed by an impure spirit or demons? Now listen to me. Please don't freak out. Don't get stuck on the word demons. Don't start running for the exits. Just relax. Because if you make this all about demons, then you've missed the power and the authority of God. Because demons can also look like dysfunctions. Dysfunctions can look like comfort zones. Dysfunctions can look like complacency. Dysfunctions can look like excuses. Dysfunctions can look like self-doubt. Dysfunctions can look like insecurity. Dysfunction can look like disobedience to God's word. Dysfunction can look like a fear of not wanting to pray out loud. Dysfunction can look like lukewarm faith. Has anyone ever had any of these, or is it just me? Thank you for your honesty. Hands up quick and go down. It's all right. I'm not judging. When I think about the dysfunctions that I've had in my life, and I'm not proud of it, but you can get comfortable with them. They even might make you feel good. Dysfunctional comfort is not a good type of comfort. Dysfunction can be comforting. It can look like a snuggie, a big warm blanket. It might make you feel better about yourself. How quickly is my dysfunction swallowed up when I'm looking at a dysfunction in you that I may not have and don't struggle with? So how quick am I to feel better about myself when I can judge the dysfunction in you? The enemy will use that dysfunctional comfort to keep you stuck in predictable cycles, and you can keep going around the mountain 100 times. What did Jesus say to the possessed man, to the spirit? Come out. We are going to address some dysfunctions today that have taken up residency in our lives and has kept us stuck. Come out, that insecurity that has imprisoned you. Some of us have gotten comfortable in our dysfunction, and therefore it doesn't motivate us to change. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Have we got it? It says, "Praise be to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." So this talks about when you're going through something in your life, you're not going through it for you, but somebody who will go through something that will need what you have after you get through what you went through, and you will have it to give to them. Is the function of comfort. The comfort of Christ not only comes into our lives so that we'll be comforted, but so that we can give it to others. Sorry. If you search scripture, you'll find commands to comfort others, and you'll find promises that God will comfort you, but you'll never find permission to comfort yourself. What the enemy wants us to do is to learn to run for comfort and cover to places outside of our calling, so he can keep us comfortable in our dysfunction, so that we will never see our destiny come to pass. Paul says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Well, Nat, you said Jesus didn't come to give us comfort. Just stay with me a little bit because I'm not stubborn and it didn't take me 7 months to see this. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our dysfunction? Does it? No. That's what the enemy does. The enemy wants to comfort you in your dysfunction until you no longer see it as a dysfunction or a problem. You see it as normal, normal enough that you can go to church with an evil spirit and take it to lunch, Capernaum. Christ came to confront your dysfunction. Comfort can become dysfunctional when we get it from the wrong place. Some of us have comfort food. And if you say you don't, I don't believe you. Or maybe some of us have comfort friends. People who in our lives are good to us, but not necessarily good. Could it be possible that your dysfunctional comfort is keeping you from your calling? You have put yourself in a place that seems safe, but you are sabotaging and silencing the power of God in your life because you are loving comfort more than your blessing and your calling. This is me. This is my journey. I'm putting me at the forefront. When I say you're, it's us. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Not dysfunctions, our troubles. You mean God will use trouble to bring you comfort? Yes. He'll also disrupt your dysfunctional comfort to confront your dysfunction. So when I'm going through trouble, let me be a little bit slower to ask God to rebuke the enemy. Maybe the trouble is the means for transformation. Hear me. God will bring you comfort in troubles and tests that He has allowed to advance His kingdom. He's not going to bring you comfort to your dysfunction so you can stay in a complacent, stuck transition period for however long you want. The enemy will bring you comfort there as a means of keeping you stuck. God will bring you comfort in your troubles and your tests that He has allowed as a means to grow you in Him and into your calling. They're two different things. So where are you getting your comfort from? Maybe God's showing you His goodness in your trouble and you need to offer up thanksgiving. The presence of God will come when you get most uncomfortable. I love the squirming in the seats. It's good. Jesus is doing something. Jesus comes to confront, not condemn. Confrontation has the intent and means to change you. Condemnation doesn't. So what have we allowed to become too comfortable in our presence that is occupying space that belongs to God? This man, I told you I got stuck here for a while. This man sat in their synagogue and demons said nothing until Jesus came up. The dysfunction stayed silent and said nothing, but sometimes the proof of the presence of God is not always a comfortable feeling. Sometimes the proof of the presence of God is disruption. The demons knew more about Jesus than the church people did. It said that something stood up. Oh no, they freaked out. You've come to get rid of us. Oh no. This is our eviction notice. We have got to go. Power has showed up. Real power in the form of Jesus Christ has showed up to vacate. The church people were still sitting taking notes. And the demons were freaking out because power had shown up. Jesus has shown up. And if He is Lord, then fear has got to go. And if He is Lord, then darkness back up. And if He is Lord, then demons need to flee. I think we get too comfortable with our dysfunctions that the enemy doesn't want us to get uncomfortable because then we would be motivated to change. So He will keep you comfortable in your dysfunction, that you don't seek anything different. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So today, we're going to confront some things. We're going to confront some stuff and dysfunctions that have kept you bound up and kept you stuck. We're going to, with Jesus, break some stuff over your life that has kept you in comfort zones for too long. I will make a choice to not become comfortable in the darkness when God has called me to the light. That's what the devil was telling his demons. Keep them comfortable. Keep them comfortable. That what I died to set them free from. You know, I had some friends at the gym that one of them was talking bad about the other one and, you know, da-da-da-da-da and all of that jazz. And I said to the girl that was telling me, who was quite distraught by what something somebody had said, and I said, first of all, you need to not listen to it. Second of all, what made that person so comfortable to tell you? I don't think anybody would want to talk to me bad about any one of you. I don't think I'd feel very comfortable with it. Maybe we have to address some things. You know, like I said, Capernaum, they were so comfortable in their religion that they missed the revelation of Jesus Christ. They missed it. They saw the miracles, but it didn't change their heart, mind, and direction. Why? Because they got too comfortable. They got too comfortable. When I love comfort more than I love Christ, and I run and hide for comfort, then I'm running from my calling. And I'm running from what God has for me. Maybe you ran to people, familiar fears, insecurity. You will not fully experience your calling because you got stuck in comfort zone. Are you stuck in your comfort? Has it become dysfunctional? Is it your snuggie? Have you learned to tolerate it? Jesus came to save us from sin, but he also came to set us free. And you don't have to stay in your comfortable dysfunction another day. I want the worship team to come. I told you I wasn't going to be long because I want to allow room for the Holy Spirit just to move and Jesus just to confront some things that have taken up residency in your life and in your heart that are keeping you from your calling. This year is a year of growth. Let's not stay stuck in transition. Don't stay stuck in comfortable dysfunction. It can look like fear, complacency, lukewarm faith. Jesus will bring you troubles and tests and bring you comfort in them because it will advance his kingdom. I want you to stand. Please. I want you to make a choice today to not live complacent anymore. I don't want the comfort that comes from dysfunction. I want the comfort that comes from God. So maybe you're living in a complacent place. Come out. Maybe you're living with the effects of a trauma from the past. Come out. Maybe you're living and stuck in a relationship that went wrong and you kept running back to feelings that made you comfortable. Come out. Maybe you're living in lukewarm commitment to God. Come out. Maybe you're living in a word someone spoke over your life, believing it to be true, and it's kept you stuck. Come out. Maybe it's a generational issue. Come out. Maybe it's a regret you're living with. Come out. Maybe it's you're living in a place of mediocre faith. Come out. Maybe you're living your life defeated. Come out. Maybe you're living your life discouraged. Come out. This is an eviction notice. We're going to be growing in the things of God and His calling and His purpose for our life. There's no room for those comfort zones anymore. So what I'm going to do is we're going to start right now. We're not waiting till Monday or Wednesday when you can hear the sermon again. Come out of your comfort zone right now. Move to the front. There's going to be people that are going to start praying for you. If you've been living in dysfunctional comfort and in a place of fear and in places of complacency and lack of faith and disobedience to the word of God and you got too comfortable in it, this is the eviction notice. Today we're coming out. Through Jesus' help, we are coming out. It starts now. Coming out of your excuses. If I had a dollar for every excuse I've heard them all. You know, I pray that I feel there's still more. But that's all right. I'll let it sink in for a little bit. I pray that God is challenging you. And I pray that you're not living in a stuck place anymore. And I pray that you step out knowing that God is in full control. He hasn't left you. He hasn't gone anywhere. But He needs you to make a bold move. He needs you to make a bold step. And that is to come out. And He will provide you the comfort that you need for the situation and the circumstance that you're going through, that you've contained it. Keep coming. I see you. Keep coming. God sees your heart. He sees what's happening. Nobody's getting left behind this morning. If you've got stuff in your life that you need to address, you need to meet with God. The Holy Spirit comes to bring comfort in your tests and in your troubles, not in your dysfunctions, not in excuses that the enemy has given you to keep you where you're at. That's not the kind of comfort that you want. That's the kind of comfort that keeps you stuck in predictable cycles that will just keep happening and happening and happening until something calls you out. Jesus is here to call it out. So ask yourself in your heart, what is it? What is it? What has kept you stuck? What dysfunction has kept you stuck? Let's sing this song.